Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed. And we're holding at the two dots at the bottom of Tchoftet Omud Beit, Zeh HaKlal Haya BaMikdash. Okay, so what we said is that anybody who urinates is Mukhuyev to be Nota Yadav Viraglav. This despite the fact that he had previously done the Nota Yadav Viraglav Minakior and so on. Why is that? So Bishlema, I understand why it is that we would want him to wash off his feet. That makes sense. I mean, wash off his feet, because again, remember in those days, people didn't wear pants. They wore like, robes. So their feet were exposed during urination. And whatever dribbling or any kind of drops of urine might have spattered on them. So they would need to wash off their feet before going into the Beis HaMikdash. Ela Yadayim. What do their hands have to do with it? My time, huh? Omer Rabbi Abba Zot Omeret Mitzvah L'Shafshef. So from here we see that we take for granted that you are supposed to wipe off with your hands any drops of urine, and therefore your hands are also not clean for the Beis HaMikdash. Misayeh Leila Rabami, Deom Rabami, Asul Adam Shietse Benitzotzot Shagabe Raglav, Bipnei Shenireh Kichrut Shafcha. A person is not allowed to go out where he might be seen with little drops of urine on his feet. Because people, even though obviously it's a bit insane, if generally speaking, we're going to be mechayev everybody to make sure that they're meshafshef, so then if that's the case, then everybody knows that that's the human condition. Since when did the human condition make any difference to people? If I've got a way to open up my mouth and say something nasty about someone, obviously I'll say it. So, I understand, yeah, I may once in a while get some urine on my feet, but certainly nobody else ought to. And therefore, if they do, they've obviously got a seriously injured penis there. And it must be that his children are all mamzerim, because there's no way that he could have kids. Can you imagine? This is like as bad as Facebook. So apparently things are not newly crazy. They were always crazy. I don't understand how else we learn this. But anyway, because he's near a kikrut shavcha, umotzi la zalbanav shem mamzerim, and his poor children are going to be stigmatized. It's beyond belief. Okay, things apparently haven't changed much. So, Mamela, we have to assume that his hands are also going to be dirty. Okay, Omer of Papa. Now, we also, once we started talking over here about the issue of needing to be tovel after defecation, so this, I mean, we're understanding that this means that the person gets dirty during defecation and has to make sure that he's completely cleaned. So we already bring this halacha. Amar of Papa. So abimikoma. So if there is a little bit of tsoa that is left in the anus, so then he's not allowed to read Kriyat Shema. So what does that mean? Echidam. Edenir Eid. So if that's visible, obviously he's not allowed to read Kriyat Shema, because the halacha is that it is usur to read Kriyat Shema bichlo, from any kind of tsoa, right? Even if it's on the ground. So then if it's on your body, for sure, you should be usur. I mean, I don't need him to tell me. That's we had that all the way back in the Mishnah, in Brachot. The idolo near eight. And if it's deep in the anus, so then if it's not visible, what do we expect? The Torah was given to humans, and humans, unfortunately, have this element or a canal, and obviously there's going to be this problem, and how are they supposed to get rid of all tsoa deep inside? So what must that mean? What it's talking about is like this. Where the person would be sitting or crouching, so then it would be possible to see this tsoa, and it would be exposed. But Omeid, when he's standing, it's not exposed. Rav Papa is saying that that itself is considered to be a iser, whereas if it were on the street, if it wasn't visible, it wouldn't be a problem. Ask the Gemara, this doesn't make sense. Note that what Rav Papa has said over here is that we're talking about dafka tsoa bimekoma. So why would this be any different than tsoa al bisaro? So if a person has any type of excrement anywhere on his body that says tsoa al bisaro, Here it says, let's say the person has some excrement on him, on himself somewhere. And we're talking about obviously over here where it's covered by his clothes, right? Because we already said, even if it's in the street, if it weren't covered, you'd be osur. Obviously, it's osur al basara. The problem that we have over here is that it's on his basar, but it's not talking about that it's bimekomo. And the other problem would be, let's say there's a bathroom, and the bathroom has a window, and you put your hands through the window into the bathroom. So, but there's no smell where you are, and you're not in the bathroom. So Rav Huna says, okay, so what's the problem? Mutar likrot kriyat shema. But Rav Chista says, you're not allowed to read kriyat shema. Why? Because of kol atzmotai tomarna shemi kamocha. So anywhere that an organ of your body, any place on your body, is not appropriate to be saying Shira. It says, kol atzmotai tomarna, that your entire body is involved in your tefillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in which case it would be Aser. So no matter how we learn Rav Papa, he's not agreeing with anybody over here. Because Rav Huna obviously says there is no problem if it's covered, even though it's on your body. And Rav Papa says, well, there is if it's in your anus. And Rav Chista says, even if it's on your arm. And if it's covered, it's Aser because of kol atzmosai. And you, Rav Papa, just said, no, it's not. It's only if it's bimkoma. So what does this mean? He doesn't agree with any of the pshatim that we have? So how do you explain that? No, because basically there's a big difference, bimkoma. That, what they're talking about is other evorim. But bimkoma, nafish zuama, and shalom bimkoma, lo nafish zuama. So what Rav Puna and Rav Chista were arguing about was whether there's on your flesh somewhere. But everybody agrees with Rav Papa that in the place where it's found initially, in the anus itself, and it hasn't gotten out in order to dry and to lose some of its smell, there it's considered to be really particularly disgusting. And because of that, what Rav Papa is saying is that you have to be very careful over there, and that you have to, would have to, it would be usher to read Kriyat Shema. Machlok is over here about whether you need to repeat Kriyat Shema in that event. One of the most astonishing things to me is that the Mishnah Brura brings halakha l'maisa based on this Gemara, that you must wash yourself after going to the bathroom. Now, I have no idea why intelligent and sophisticated, civilized people actually use toilet paper. This is beyond belief to me, that there was to the point where there was a national emergency at the beginning of COVID, there's no toilet paper. Who in the world would bring toilet paper into a civilized home? Can you tell me when there's so many different devices that are available for actual washing, whether they're attached to your toilet or they're a separate sprayer? La halacha, I do not know what the right is to be semich on this kind of cleaning. For a person to be able to daven and to be able to say Kriyat Shema, he needs to be mekayim, what the Mishnah Brura says, which is to use a sprayer. So this, unfortunately, not a very pleasant topic, but this is really nogea halacha l'maisa all the time. Tana Rabbana. There's also a related halacha that comes to eating in a seuda. And a person, so you're in a chasna, or whatever, even if you're in a small meal with people, a guy goes out to urinate. So Adam Yotzei LaHashtin Mayim. So he has to wipe that, wash again, that hand that he had used to be Meshavshev. So noto yodo achad v'nichnas. But suppose he met somebody outside and he started talking and he comes back in an hour later. So then he has to wash off both of his hands again, because since he was Mesiach Daito Misu Udasai, so he's not considered to be careful. And then he's back to Stam Yadayim. Stam Yadayim require Netilat Yadayim. There's even a Shaila whether he needs to make Hamotzi again, but we paskin he doesn't need to make Hamotzi again. This, by the way, is only where he wasn't carrying a piece of bread with him. If he was holding a piece of bread, so then he's not considered to be a Mesiach Daita from the Seuda, even if he was outside for a long time. So the din is that when he is notel, his Yadayim, when he comes back in, he should not be notel Yadayim outside, and then come into the room where everybody's eating, because people will suspect that he didn't really wash his hands again and he wasn't careful. So what he should do is sit down and then have the waiter bring the water and be notel shtei yadav. And then the water, they used to have this pitcher at tafiach, the waiter would ask, does anybody else need to wash their hands? And that he would do only in order to be mefarsem, that everybody should know this guy just did netilat yadayim, so there shouldn't be any chashad. Omer Rav Chisda, this is only where the meal was over. The guy came in to join. They used to have like a little bit of a drinking party after the meal where they brought out different drinks and so on. That's only if he's only coming in lishtot, because lishtot mi ikra din, you don't need the tilat yadayim. And the only reason that we're telling you over here you should be no to yadav is because we're afraid that maybe already if you're drinking, you may go and stick your hand out and grab some food that was still left on the table. So we're afraid that people will say, oh, this guy didn't pay any attention to that takana, he wasn't careful. But if he's literally coming in to continue the su'udah and everybody else is in the middle of eating, then he doesn't have to do this. He can be no to yodav mi bachutz, because people know that normal, civilized people do not continue to eat after they came out of a bathroom without washing. So because of that, nobody's going to be choshed. I mean, he's no to mi bachutz v'nichnas. The mida yadia de anina daite. People know that people are fastidious, and they're not gonna eat without washing their hands. Omer Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak, look, it also depends on the circumstances. I mean, a guy like me, even if I come in just for drinking, I wouldn't be mekayim the salocha to wash dafka in front of everybody else, because people know me, and people know that I am extremely fastidious. Mida yadad anina datai. And I'm like very careful about these things. I would never drink without washing. So it's really a function over here of whether you're in a position where you're actually going to get people nervous about your being a slob. Okay. So we are ready for our kapitan.
What time, Rabbi? I
got to
give a little
extra. Moshe David, what's going on, man? Okay. He's being, no, he says no good. No good.
Do it
again? Yeah, I mean, it says, you know, you're not Yotze if the Rebbe says it's no good.
Usually he gives us a fourth. This time he gave us a minor third.
Ay. Maybe he's in a sad mood.
Yeah, look. As I say, it's one time. So,
Ain't a dumb. Count your lucky blessings over here, Doc. Ain't a dumb nichnas la azara afilu tahor ad sheyitpol. A person who's coming from outside of the Beis HaMikdash, even though he knows he's tahor, he shouldn't go in without going to the mikveh there. Chamesh tefilot v'asara kiddushin tovel kohen gadol makadesh bo bayom. So remember, we said that every time that the kohen gadol changes begodim, whether it's from big day chol to big day kedesh, or big day kedesh to the begodim of the big day lavan, shmone begodim back to lavan, and lavan back to big day, to the shmone begodim, every single time he has to be tovel, and every single time he has to do two kiddush adayim v'raglayims, kulam, one before, one after, kulam b'kodesh al beit ha-parva, except for the first one, chutz mizo bilvat. So normally we have that special mikveh that we had for him that was made in the actual Azara, and that was on top of the Lishkat HaParva, as we discussed earlier when we went through the various Lishakot. And the only one that is not b'kodesh there is this one that we said before was on top of the Shaar HaMayim, and there was a mikvah, but it was exposed. It wasn't inside of a lishka. So what they did was parsu sadin shel butz bein ol bein ha'am. They took like a linen sheet and they spread it between him and the people so he wouldn't be exposed. And he went there to the mikvah. This last piece is not clear. Kiddush Yad HaVeraglav, we're going to see later on whether it should be here or not, based on the Gemara later tomorrow that we'll have. So it says the Gemara, Sha'alu et ben Zoma, Tfilah Zolam. Why exactly does this Kohen need Tfilah? I mean, he's been there for 7 days, right? I mean, he's completely tar. They were maza on him every single day, even to make sure that he didn't even have a problem of maybe possibly being exposed to a maid and so on. So why does he need to go to the mikveh? Omar lehem, uma hamishanemi kedesh lekedesh, umi makam shanush kares, lo makam shanush kares, ta'un tefillah. If make yourself an obvious kal vachomer. You're a guy is going from one place, which is Kadesh, to another place of Kadesh. Both of these places are so chomor that if you go there and you're not allowed to be there, you go in Betuma, you're chayav kares. And nonetheless, he's wearing his big day Kadesh, he's in a mokum Kadesh, he still needs to go to the mikveh. So if he's switching from a mokum chol, and he's going into Kadesh, and he's going from a mokum where there's no anush kares for going in Betuma, now he's going to be walking into the Azorah, where there is an anush, obviously he needs tefillah. So this is really a diaraisa, because it's a kal vachomer, and it says, beferish in the Torah, that he is mechuyev to go to the mikveh, v'rachatz et bisaro. So if there's a varachatzit bisoro, that's a mitzvah saseh. So how could you think that you shouldn't have to go to the mikveh? Of course you have to go to the mikveh. Okay, this is the approach of Ben Zoma. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed, and Rabbi Yehuda said, no, this whole thing is a srach tefillah yizo. Srach is the lashon of sircha, serach. It's something that is stuck to something else. Meaning that since there are times where you really need tefillah, namely if you would be tamei, so because of that, they connected this and they stuck it onto the din of real tefillah. Why? Because the very fact that the guy is going into the mikveh, he's thinking to himself, why am I going to the mikveh, really, for an yonim of tefillah? And that may remind him, the regular person, that may remind him that, oh, you know what, I totally forgot that 3 months ago I touched the sheretz or whatever. And that way, he will not go in because he will still be a tful yom. So he'll remember that he's a tful yom. So because of that, we want people, this Kohen, not the Kohen Gadol, we made this gezera that he should remember, and that way he'll be perish and he won't go in at all because he'll realize that even if he goes to the mikveh, he is going to be a tful yom. So, I mean, what's the machlokas over here between Ben Zoma and Rebbe Yehuda? That Ben Zoma holds it to the right, it's based on a kal vachomer. What exactly would be the practical implications? Gemara, what do you mean? Massive practical implications. Is the Kohen who does not go to the mikveh, is he going to be mechalal his aveda? I mean, he's not tamei, so why would he be mechalal his aveda? Because according to Ben Zoma, since the Torah says that he's mechuyev to have all of these tefillahs, so if he didn't do it, he would be mechalal le'aveda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that the whole thing is just this drabanan thing to remind you, obviously he's not mechalal le'aveda. Just like, wait a second, even according to Ben Zoma, he wouldn't be mechalal le'aveda. Because, look, the whole basis of Ben Zoma is what? Is the ideas of the Kohen Gadol and the Kal Vachomer that we make from the Kohen Gadol, where he's Mechuyev, if he is going from his Big Day Lavan to his Big Day Zav, what would be the din of the Kohen Gadol himself who didn't do that? Would he be Mechalal Aveda? No. So how could you tell me that according to Ben Zoma, the one who doesn't do it because of the Kal Vachomer from here is Mechalal Aveda? Come on. V'tanya, it says beferish in the Braita, Kohen Gadol Shalotava V'lokidesh. If the Kohen Gadol didn't do what he was mechuyev to do, ben beged le beged, or ben aveda la aveda, his aveda is kosher anyway. And this is true, therefore, about the kal vachomer. But, I mean, if he wasn't mekadesh yada viraglav at all, so that's something else there, even that's true of a Kohen had yet. Shalo kidesh yada viraglav shacharit ve'avada avoda, over there avoda psula, because that we learn out over in Zvachim, that we learn out from the Pasuk, from Gzera Shavah. So that's not the difference, because whether you hold like Ben Zoma that it's a Diraisa, or whether you hold of Rabbi Yehuda that it's a Srach Tfila, either way, there would be no way for us to have a basis for suggesting that this Kain is going to be Mechal al Aveda. Okay, so what's the Halacha L'maisa? The Halacha L'maisa is just, again, this issue, were you over on an Isra Aseh or not? According to Ben Zoma, if you did not do it, then you were over on a mitzvah d'oraisa, because it says v'rachatz b'mayim et b'saro l'veisham, and you, being a kavachomer from there, were not l'veisham. We're not rachatz b'mayim, I mean. And Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he is not going to be over, because the whole thing is only a d'rabbanan. Says the Gemara, but how can you say that according to Rabbi Yehuda there's a gezeira that anybody going into the Beis HaMikdash has to be Tevel? That doesn't make sense. It says in the Braita, Atanya, Mitzora Tovel, so the Mitzora has to first be Tovel, and then he goes and he stands in the Shar Nikanor. Remember, that's the Shar that's right on the top of the stairs that go into the Ezras Yisrael from the Ezras Noshim. And over there, he needs to insert his hands and his feet in order for us to be able to sprinkle on him the Dama Arsham and the Shemen from the Luksha Mitzorah, right? So now, in that very sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he doesn't need to do tefillah on that day because he was tovel yesterday, because at the end of the seventh day, generally he would have been tovel anyway. So if he was already mitapel in the Tuma Yishana, so then what's the point of the Gezerah? He was already Teva. I don't understand. What kind of stupid question is that? Well, obviously he was already Teva. Rabbi Yehuda said that there's a Gezerah because we want him to remember Tumah Yeshana Shebiyada. And over here, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the reason that the Mitzorah doesn't have to be Tovel is because he was already Tovel. So obviously anybody who was already Tovel doesn't have to be Tovel again. I don't get it. So what's the Kasha? It says the reasoning over there. The reasoning is Shekvar Tava. Does it say that, Beferish? As a matter of fact, it's a dumb question. So did Ka'arila, my Ka'arila, I understand. The one who was learning this bright, how did he get to ask such a weird question? If Rabbi Yehuda said Beferish, what his reasoning is? No, the truth is that he was not asking from this Nakuda. He was in the middle of a series of brises in which each one makes it more problematic for us to understand the consistency of Rabbi Yehuda Shita, because he wanted to bring yet another brise. This one seems to be a real stira, because the third brise is that Lishkata Mitzoraim is called Lishkata Mitzoraim. Why? We had this before. Sheshom Mitzoraim Tovlim. Because that's where the Mitzoraim would be Tovel. Remember, that was one of the four Lishkot that was around the Ezras Nashim. And that's where the Mitzoraim would be Tovel before they would go to put their etzbot, the Godol Yada Viragla. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now this is really wild. Rabbi Yehuda over there says, no, it's not only Mitzorain. Anybody, Kol Adam, anybody would have to go to the mikveh. So I don't understand. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that Mitzorain don't need to go to the mikveh. So how in the world could he say, not only Mitzorain, if a moment ago, Rabbi Yehuda argued and said, you don't need Mitzorain, don't need to go to the mikveh. Okay, that's not so bad. I mean, look, I mean, where Rabbi Yehuda said you don't need a mitzvah to be tovel, that's because, like he said, shekvar tovel mi ba'erev. Okay, but what happened if the guy did not go? Let's say his Yom HaShmini may be much later. He wasn't able to go Yom HaShmini. He couldn't afford a carbon, didn't get a carbon, wasn't in Yerushalayim. I don't know, whatever. But the point is that then if he wasn't tovel the night before, which is quite common, so then he needs to go to the mikveh. That's all that the Rabbi Yehuda was saying. Excuse me? That doesn't make sense. If he wasn't Tovel Be'erev, so then if he's going to wait to be Tovel till he comes in on the eighth day, So then why wouldn't he need to wait until the next night before he's allowed to go in? Because if you're mechuyev to be tevel, he was mechuyev to be tevel before, and instead he does his tefillah on the 8th, so then he would be a mechuser kippurim. So that can't be the meaning. Oh, the meaning is like this. He was tevel the night before, but he didn't realize that he would be able to go the next day, and he was mesiach das. So the third brisa over here is talking about where his mesiach daita, and he wasn't careful not to become tameh. And the other brisa, where it says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't need to, that's talking about that he wasn't mesiach daita. No. If a guy is mesiach das, excuse me, and he does not keep his body tahar, and he doesn't realize that he's got to be careful to stay tahar, then the halacha is that we're chayshed that he even was tameh by a mace before he goes into the Beis HaMikdash. And how do we know he isn't tumas mace? And that would have meant that he would have needed azar shlishi v'shvi, not just the Erev Shemesh, that's even worse, which you're saying can't go in the next day. He would need azar shlishi v'shvi. The Omer Reb Distoy Bar Maton Omer Reb Yochanan Esach Adas Tzorech Azar Shlishi V'Shvi. If a guy was Mesiach Das from Tyra, he's in big trouble. Okay, sorry. You're right. Both cases are talking about he was Tevel. Both cases are talking about he was not Mesiach Daita. The question is whether not Mesiach Daita is not what we meant. What we meant was when he was Tovel, did he think that he was going to be able to come to the Beis HaMikdash the next day? That was the question. So, lo kasha, hada tovel al das bias migdash. Lo tovel al das bias migdash. So remember that the halacha is that when it comes to inyanim of kedesh, the person has to have a conscious kavana to be doing this tefillah in order to be able to be exposed to kodesh, or to cases of eating, for achilas, truma, and so on. And there's different levels of kavana. So in this case, he knew that, okay, he's finishing up his Yom HaShvi, he's going to the mikvah. But he did not think he would be able to get to the Beis HaMikdash. In the end, it turns out that he was able to get to the Beis HaMikdash. So there he needs tefillah again. But that tefillah again is not a tefillah that makes him be tamei ad ha'erev, because that tefillah is the regular tefillah that we're mechayev everybody. So because of that, there's no real problem of Tuma Ad Ha'erev. That's one approach. Vibay Sema. Or, you know what? Change the language. Instead of saying that Reb Yehuda said, Lo Mitzoraim Bilvad Amru Ela Kol Adam, he said, no, not Mitzoraim, only Kol Adam. That's the point. In which case, there's no contradiction, because indeed, the Mitzora doesn't need to go. Okay, so by changing the gears, so we get away with the whole problem. Ravina Amar. There's another simple approach, says Ravina. What do you have to get into changing the gears? Or making up cases where you didn't have kavana? It's very simple. In this brisa, when he said, Lo mitzoraim bilvad amru, he wasn't saying his own opinion. He was talking to the Rabbana. And he was talking to them like this. Ravina l'divrayim de Rabbana ka'amalo. Look. Lididi, I mean, I don't know what you're talking about over here, Lishkata Metzoraim. What the heck would Metzoraim be doing there to be Tovel in a mikveh in Lishkata Metzoraim if they were already Tovel last night? I don't agree. I hold Metzora doesn't need tefillah at all. You hold a Metzora does need tefillah. Very nice, okay. But then, I mean, so why call it Lishkata Metzoraim? Call it the Lishkata Tefillah L'Nichnasim. Delo Metzoraim, Bilvad Amru. I mean, you're agreeing that it's not a specific din in Metzoraim. Ela kol adam, everybody has got to go to the mikveh, right? So why do you say not that way? And the Rabbanan. So why did the Rabbanan say that we're stressing the Mitzorah? So that's because the Mitzorah is worse off than other people. Because other people who would be tahar from before would not have to. But a Mitzorah, he's been used to being a Mitzorah for this whole period until he finally became Tohar. So he was outside of the Machana and was Betame things and so on. See, he became used to that. Daish Betuma, he's lost some of his sensitivity to Tuma, obviously, being in that state for a while. And over there, since that, even though he went to the mikveh the night before, he's still going to have to go to the mikveh. Masha Enkin Kol Adam, regular people are lo daish betuma. So if a regular person knows that he went to the mikveh, we have no reason for us to think that he was metame himself, and therefore he doesn't have to go to the mikveh. Now that means that the Rabbanan over here, apparently, that Reb Yehuda is arguing with here, apparently don't hold like the Mishnah, because our Mishnah says everybody has to go to the mikveh. Even if he's Vaday Tor, he has to go to the mikveh. Okay, that's what we'll have to say. Omer le'abayla Reb Yosef, so I just want to make something clear over here. Does that mean that the Rabbanan who are arguing with Reb Yehuda, and they said a mitzora, this is in the middle brisa, they said a mitzora has to go again to the mikveh, even if he went the night before, right? So it says over there, mitzora is omed in the Shar Niknor. Why is that? Is that because they hold of Ben Zoma, that there's a diraisa, that you have to go to the mikveh? So why did they say mitzora? They said mitzora only to tell you that Reb Yehuda is so much the opposite extreme that he holds even a mitzora, if he was tevil before, doesn't have to go in. Or did they mean davka mitzora? Maybe they don't know the Ben Zoma, and the only reason that they said that the mitzora has to go in is exactly this point, that shayne mitzora de dayish betuma, like you yourself just made this distinction over here in the Rabbanan of the third Braita. So Rabbi Yosef said, I hold it's the same thing. It's shiny mitzora the dayish betuma. We don't have to make this dependent in the machlokas of the Tanakama and or between Ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda. Excellent.